Welcome to Real Estate Boss Radio. What's going on, Real Estate Bosses? It's Coburn Shepik. It's the month of August. What is going on, you guys? It's been a busy couple months. During the month of August, just want to give you, kind of an update. The group's growing. Obviously, we have some work to do on our end to get some more, to build up this community. And we do have a very clear vision of where this is going, because community is where it's at. I've struggled in my past to find a solid group of individuals that can connect on a very similar level. So that's sort of the reason why we've built this Real Estate Boss community. Anyway, the month of August, we're really going to start diving in to how you can create a steady income, probably even match your own income right now, or even double what you've been bringing in through real estate. And there's a lot of people. One of the most common denominators in today's world is how do you get started without money or credit or both? And the fact is, there's so many different ways to be creative with real estate where you don't need money to buy and sell. And so obviously there's multiple different levels of real estate: multifamily, single family, commercial, industrial, buy and hold, buy and sell, wholesale. There's so many different ways, but we're gonna get creative, start with the basics of how to just make some money, okay? So I'm sure, as you've heard of what wholesaling is. Wholesaling a house or wholesaling a property is basically getting something under contract and selling that contract to an investor for a fee. And the fee can be anywhere from $1,000 to $100,000, depending on the level of real estate you're doing. Now, if you're selling, a 2 or 3 bedroom home, in the middle America, homes worth, between 150 and 450, that fee that you're asking for is going to be somewhere between $3,000 and $20,000. That's very common. I've sold contracts for $5,000, $3,000, $12,000, $18,000. It just, all of the fee really is determined by what type of deal you have at the table. So let's just use an example here. If there's a $100,000 house and its after repaired value is $150,000 and it needs $20,000 worth of work, that means somebody, if they bought it at $100,000, that means they have a $30,000 potential profit margin. So you could potentially, get that house under contract for, let's just say, $85,000, and that would allow you to take a $25,000 fee for that house, just for an example. Or if you got it at $80,000, you can get a $20,000 fee. Or if you got it at $95,000, you can get a $5,000 fee. Now, this is totally negotiable because everybody's profit margins are different. Some people want to make X amount of percentage on the deal. Some people just want to make $20,000 on the deal. Some people have need a bigger margin for it to be worth it. Some people, everybody's criteria is very different. Some people are looking for terms versus just a cash deal. So some people, if you can bring a deal to the table that is really good terms, as in seller financing, you can make a deal happen that way because people are willing to pay for terms. Terms are sometimes more beneficial than a discounted cash deal. So we're gonna really dive into a few different scenarios of how to get some cash flow coming, even if you have no money. So I'm gonna give you another example, and that is seller financing. So what you're looking for when you're getting into seller financing, anybody can buy a house, okay? Majority of people that own a house don't even own it. So they're in the same position as you, they just qualified for a traditional mortgage. So the way that we can get creative and get terms to work for us and use other people's money the seller's money is to do some sort of seller financing. So to break it down, a seller, 95+% of people have a mortgage, a first mortgage, and a second mortgage. Less percentage have a second mortgage. 95% of people probably have a mortgage and they don't have a lot of equity, because majority of people end up taking a second on their house. They pull their money back out, or there's people that just bought houses and they haven't owned it for long enough to gain real equity. And there's mortgages that are structured differently. So there's mortgages that fluctuate. There's mortgages that have interest only for a certain amount of time. So anyway, most people have a mortgage. And what seller financing is, what you're offering your sellers, is, hey, you might, speaking to the seller may have, $20,000 worth of equity. Not much money. They hardly even own the house. They don't own the house. And if they were to sell it, they would lose that equity because of real estate commissions and fees and taxes and stuff they may have to fix. They may have to replace the water heater. They may have a faulty sink. They may need to add carpet in the in the basement or whatever. And so that $20,000 disappears very quickly. And sometimes that equity is so low that they would actually have to come to the table, the selling table, with money to sell their house. So they're not in a position to even take cash and sell it traditionally. So that's where you can really bring great value by bringing this seller financing to the table. They might not even realize it's possible. So what you're offering these people is, hey, you have $20,000 worth of equity. It's not really real equity because these are the reasons why. Because of real estate commissions, because of things that the house needs before it sells, et cetera, et cetera. I'll give you your $20,000, but I'll give it to you for over 3 to 5 years. And you offer them a simple interest where you can make interest-only payments on that $20,000. Say it's 4%, 5%, 6%. Year over year for the next 3 to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And they're actually going to turn that $20,000, they're going to duplicate that $20,000 because you're paying interest on that 20 grand, and they got nothing, they just don't have another option. So when you offer something like that to a seller, and some people just aren't in that position, but there are plenty of people that are in that position and they need you. They need somebody to get creative and help them move on in their life and keep their money safe and make a few bucks. So that's the seller financing option. The other option is cash. Obviously, you're buying a discounted property and either keeping it, putting your money in it, or borrowing hard money and fixing it and selling it, or you're going to sell a contract to make a few thousand bucks. It's as simple as that. One of the biggest keys here is how you talk to your sellers. I've probably talked to 500 sellers in my life, and one of the common denominators to a successful conversation with a seller is listening. It's a key word. Listen to the people who you're talking to, because it's not, when you're doing these deals, it's really not about, it's not all about the numbers of the house. It's not all about, location, location, location. It's not all about, the square footage or the carpet or the paint color or the finishings. It's actually more so about the seller and their position and their story and what they're going through and what their goals are and what they need to do. That's what matters most. So one of the key things when you're doing these deals is to listen to the seller. The best way to open up a conversation, and you have to be a little careful because you don't want to be too personal because they don't know you. So you're just somebody calling. So keep that in mind. But one of the key factors in having a conversation with the seller is asking them what their needs are, what their story is, where they want to go, what's their plan, why are they selling. You ask these few terms and shit, some of these sellers will talk your ear off, give you their whole life story, and you're just sitting there as an investor going, yeah, okay, yep. And these people will talk your ear off and give you their whole story. But what this does is it builds rapport between you as the investor and the seller, so they start to trust you. And through trusting you, that's where they can believe in where what you have to offer. They may be open-minded to get more creative than the traditional way of selling a property. So through this conversation, through allowing the seller to communicate their story, that's where you can get super creative and bring value to these people. And another thing is, don't always have one direction. I like to call it a set of tools. You got your screwdriver, your hammer, your set of pliers. And this is all, it's relative, because when you're talking to these sellers, you should have a few different options depending on where the conversation goes. If, you know, for example, if there's somebody that owns their house outright, they may want their money somewhere else, so they may need more money now, or, you know, they may just not need the money at all and will carry the whole loan for 10 years because they don't know where else to put their money. So every conversation is super different, so you need to be prepared to come to the table with 1, 2, 3, 4 different options. You can get very creative with the deals that you do. It's not just about buying at a discount or seller financing the whole deal. You can do both. You know, you can bring more money to the table or less money to the table. You can do, you know, carrybacks. You can take over mortgages. There's so many different directions to go. You do a lease option. So there's so many different directions to go, and you need to be open-minded and learn from the conversation before you start spitting out offers. Now, when you get to the offering stage, it's all about being very, very clear with your seller, understanding their needs, getting on the same page, having them trust you, having them understand what you do, and make sure that they're super clear on the options that you're going to give them before you just have your broker or yourself write up an offer and it's just words and it's confusing and they're scared and they're not going to take the offer. So you need to be super clear with the seller before the offer comes about. And even before the offer, before you drop a purchase contract, etc., the best tool you can use is this conversation. Have the most detailed conversation as possible. Take your time. And what comes after the conversation is a LOI, a letter of intent. And so I'm the buyer, I'm the investor. I say, hey, seller, you know, here's the deal. You're in a position where, you know, you've got this much equity. It's not enough to cover your selling costs. There's cost to selling, and that's why you're a for sale by owner. You wouldn't be here. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to carry back a second mortgage. You know, I'll give you X amount of, I'll give you 5% on your $20,000 for the next 5 years. It's going to be backed with a trust deed, et cetera, et cetera. Does this, you know, would you be open to this? And they may say, yeah, or they may say, no, I don't even understand. At that point, you need to be very, very clear and make sure you're both on the same page. And then after that, you know, the same day or the next day, or you might meet in person after that. I would suggest meeting in person, actually doing this together. Bring a letter of intent to the table. And all the letter of intent does, and we'll include a small template. It's very simple. It's a non-binding document that you can literally just draw up on Word, draw it up on a napkin for all I care. But the point is that you're outlining your terms very clearly, not on contract. And you're saying, okay, you're presenting this to your seller. Okay, these are the terms that I'd like to buy at. Would you agree to these terms? It's non-binding. All you're doing is having them acknowledge those terms before you waste each other's time. And this pits, you know, just a little fire under their ass to say, okay, this is real. This guy's serious. He wants to buy the house. And at that time, they can either say, yeah, let's do it. Let's proceed. You know, draw it up. And then you can draw up your contract, your purchase contract, and write a real offer. Or they might say, you know what, I just can't do it. And so you're saving each other's time. So that's your letter of intent. most, you know, one of the most important things besides the original conversation. And then you can dive into the purchase contract. I would highly suggest using a broker or an agent's help to do this, unless you've done several before. I write my own offers, but the first few you should sit with an agent and make sure you're drawing up this contract correctly. Or a real estate attorney, but a realtor is fine, or a broker. Once this purchase contract goes into place, I'd always give yourself plenty of time. You know, you want, if you're going to be wholesaling these deals, you want enough time to sell the contract before, you know, there's certain deadlines. So you don't want to get yourself in a position where you say, hey, I'll write this contract, we're going to close in 10 days, and then it takes you 11 days to find a seller, then you just lost the deal. And you lost your earnest money. So there's a deadline for everything. So give yourself plenty of time. Push it as far out as possible. You can always close earlier. You can always negotiate that. But it's easier to negotiate a sale earlier than later. So push the contract. Push the deadlines as far out as possible. You know, I wouldn't want to close on a house in less than, you know, 30 days minimum. Ideally 45 or 60 days. So this allows you enough time to market the property, talk to your other investor friends or buyers or whatever you're going to do to sell it, and get it on the market, you know, 30 days before those deadlines occur. So when you're wholesaling these properties, you want to be very proactive about this. You don't just want to jump into something, find the house, get it under contract and say, okay, now what? Now I'm going to put it on Craigslist and hopefully sell it the same way this guy did. That's probably not going to happen. So what you need to do is be proactive. You put your marketing cap on. Start building a list of buyers, a list of investors. And you want to cover every criteria back to your set of tools. You have this criteria, which is a discounted cash deal. You have this tool, which is a long-term, you know, seller financing, et cetera, et cetera. And you want to find an investor that fits each of these different criteria. And you want them to be, you know, I get reached out to all the time. Hey, you know, I love your stuff. I'd love to add you to my buyers list, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, great. How many people do you have on that list? Oh, 400. You know, they're always bragging about how many investors are on that list. And it's actually not as valuable because half of these investors, three quarters of these investors are going to see the deal, but they're not actually serious buyers. So it might as well just be on online on the MLS or on LoopNet or whatever you're looking for. So build a valuable list is the point. I'd rather have three really qualified investors that I know are going to close on my properties, that I know are going to come through. I know they're backed by capital, et cetera, versus 300 that are not very qualified. I didn't have a conversation with them. I don't really know what criteria, you know, who knows if they have any money in the bank or they're just bluffing or whatever. So build a valuable buyer's list or an investor's list. These are people that you can trust that they're actually going to close on the deal. And then once you have this list, first of all, always have a conversation with these people as you're building a list. I've had so many people reach out to me that don't even want a phone call, they just want my email. It's just another email. So that's not, they're building a very invaluable list. So always have a conversation with your investors or your buyers so you can understand what they need, understand their wants, understand their timeline, how much time they need to close, blah, blah, blah. Once you have this list, then go out and start looking for your properties. Then go out and write offers. You know, this business is, it's a total numbers game. You're not going to get every deal. You know, you speak to 100 people, you might write 20 LOIs, you might write 6 offers, and you might make one deal happen. So it's a total numbers game. Write more offers. That's the key. Once you write these offers, you obviously need to hit your deadlines. There's a deadline for, you know, the only money that you're going to have in this, and you can always borrow it if you just don't have any money at all, is the earnest money. And the earnest money you can get back, but there is a deadline that allows you to forfeit the money or get the money back. So say
you know, I wrote a contract. They want $500 worth of earnest money. Okay, that's fine. But there's a deadline that allows me, if I cancel the contract before that time, I can get my earnest money back. If I don't hit that deadline, I don't write it up, then I can lose that $500. So you don't want to lose your $500 ever. So make sure you're following these deadlines. Obviously, you really want to have, once this point comes, you know, you want to get your stuff out there, send this deal out to your investors, start having people see it, get as much of information as possible on it, get all the history on it. You can find this, it's all public information, you know, tax IDs, square footage, blah, blah, blah. It's all public information. So just find your spot online that you can pull up this information quickly and get it to your investors right away. Inspections. At this point, you want to make sure that you have the home inspected. Don't spend too much money on this if you're wholesaling the house. Have your end investor do the inspections, but you want to understand, you know, realistically what's going on with the house. So you can communicate this to your investors because they don't want to find out stuff and then not trust you later. So if you know that, hey, there's some structural damage, there's a beam in the basement that really needs to be replaced, you need to know that so your investors trust you and they know how to bid on the house. Use these few tools and get some cash flow. You can easily, if you're dedicating, you know, a certain amount of time out of your day to write offers, you can wholesale two houses a month and make 10 grand. Replace your income, double your income. It's a lot of money to be left on the table. And as you start to do this, you're going to start to grow your capital and you're going to start to be able to do bigger deals. I hope this helps. Have a fucking awesome month of August, you guys. Real Estate Bosses, talk soon. Cheers.